Chapter 10. Emma. Sometimes I come up with fabulous plans that involve days, if not weeks, of planning and forethought, only to have them completely fail because of a last-minute wrench in the works. Other times I throw a complete spitball into the wind, and it miraculously turns into a home run. This is one of those other times. Also, I have never played baseball. I'd gone to the gala to get Carter's help, but I'd been thinking along the lines of a book suggestion or an offer to send me detailed feedback on my presentation. My audacious claim that he should tutor me in art appreciation wasn't even a complete thought when it came spilling out of my mouth. I was just as surprised as he was. I was even more surprised when he agreed. Now I'm jumping every time my phone buzzes because he said he'd text with the details of my first lesson once he decided what it would be. It's wreaking havoc with my productivity, which is why I'm sitting at my desk, clutching a cup of coffee, and trying to sort through my task list at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Normally, I'd still be in my pajamas. Okay, I am wearing pajamas right now, but they're clean pajamas that I put on after I showered. I actually rarely sleep in these. They're more like what Amy would call loungewear. Given that these particular fleece pajama pants are covered in tiny cartoon donkeys, Amy would probably call them trash, but that's beside the point. After 2 days of disappointing notifications, I am proud of the fact that I don't jump and spill my coffee when my watch vibrates to signal an incoming text. I turn my wrist as I lean forward to place the coffee on the desk and only spill a couple of drops when I see that it is, in fact, from him. Only the first three words are visible on my watch, so I snatch up my phone and press my thumb on the screen to unlock it.
Carter, are you free tonight?
I take a deep breath and set the phone down so I can shake out my suddenly trembling hands. Why am I so nervous? This isn't a date. It's barely even a work function. With my composure at least temporarily regained, I pick the phone back up. I type, "No, I'm very expensive," and then quickly delete it. Official or not, I should try to be professional. I try, "Yep, I sure am," but delete that as well because, well, just because. Finally, I just type yes and hit send.
Carter. First lesson tonight, then. Do you know where Marcel's Diner is in Appleton?
I close the texting app and reopen it to make sure I read that right. Marcel's is a diner just off the square in a small town about 30 minutes north of me. That puts it very far away from any of Atlanta's cultural venues. Me. Yes, I've been there.
Carter. Can you be there by 5:30?
Me. I can. Is Marcel's a hotbed of artistic inspiration?
Carter. No, I just happen to like their food. Art lesson comes after.
Me. Where are we going?
Carter. It's a surprise. If you have time to prepare, your reactions won't be natural and open.
Logical, yes, but not helpful. Me. What's the dress code?
Carter. I'm sure what you normally wear will be fine.
I glance down at my cartoon-covered pajama pants and blow a stray strand of hair away from my face. I must have missed it when I threw the rest of it up in a haphazard bun. Me. Humor me.
Carter. Whatever you would wear for a casual night out with friends will work. I've never seen you in anything that wasn't appropriately elegant.
I drop the phone like its lithium battery is threatening to ignite. Whatever giddy little sparks were dancing around at the idea of deliberately going out with Carter fizzle and fade as they get smothered by reality. We don't know each other much, but he knows me less than I know him unless he, too, has been putting on a complete front every time I've seen him, and both of us are nothing but a pair of frauds. Based on the internet searches I did when I got home from the gala, that's not the case. There isn't a lot about Carter on the World Wide Web, but what exists is pretty interesting. Ironically, most of the available information is cold, emotionless facts. Very little commentary exists about him, although there are plenty of blogs and articles and even a college survey course discussing his works. After graduating college with an art degree, he went to New York for some sort of artist-in-residence program, where he refined his painting skills while earning money doing illustrations for children's books. He also spent some time as a barista. In an epic case of right place, right time, right person, he had a painting purchased by a Broadway producer. The painting hung in the man's house and was then used on the set of a musical that had a short but highly successful run. That seems to be all anyone knows about him until he connected with the gallery that still handles his work. He had a 20-piece showing and all of them went for at least five figures. After that, there's nothing but occasional appearances at fundraisers and art functions, such as gallery openings and museum galas. He teaches classes twice a year at two different artist retreat schools and has paintings hanging in many modern art museums as well as private collections. He was less intimidating when I thought he was a local artist the museum had brought in to fill the consultant position. I suppose that is what he is, but it's rather like saying Bill Gates is the technical consultant for your website. New York is a 4-hour plane ride away, and he's not taking me anywhere particularly highbrow if we're meeting in Appleton for dinner, so I'm not sure what to expect. Another text message notification buzzes through my pondering, and I pick up my phone.
Amy, new sushi place alert. I hear the chef trained in Tokyo. Wanna do lunch?
I don't see the appeal of sushi, but Amy and Aunt Jade love it, so I've learned what to order. California rolls and deep-fried salmon rolls taste pretty much the same wherever I go, so a new place doesn't get me hyped up. Me, can't, sorry, gotta work through lunch.
Amy, look at you. Working on a Saturday. Just can't say no when the inspiration hits, huh? You'll learn how to wrangle it. Amy, eating and working is not good for the digestion, though.
I've worked plenty of Saturday mornings, since Jason doesn't care when we put our hours in, as long as we track them and hit our deadlines. I have no idea how late I'll be out tonight, though, and I'm already feeling behind. Also, I don't want to have to wrap myself in uncomfortable clothing twice in one day. Me, I'm already having to limit my hours. I have plans tonight.
Amy,
eye roll emoji.
Are you and your friend, Jason, going to the movies or something?
My family, Amy in particular, bounces back and forth between thinking Jason doesn't exist to being convinced he's my secret boyfriend. They've never met, since I keep my lives as separate as possible, but I can't always avoid mentioning him. Me, no, I'm having dinner in Appleton.
Amy, who with?
Not this again. I can't tell Amy the real reason I'm meeting with Carter. For one, while Amy knows I find art boring, she doesn't realize it's a somewhat active hatred. And two, she'll be insistent that the entire encounter is a date. And it isn't. It absolutely isn't. No matter how good he looks in the casual picture of him at one of the artist retreats that graces a blog, I haven't quite brought myself to take off my computer screen. In an act of defiance, I minimize the window. Closing it would be better, but you know, baby steps.
Amy. Emma, who are you going with?
Me. It's just a work thing. Research for the museum design. That should distract her. She and Mother are so excited that they can now call me a designer, even though I've been extremely vague when answering their questions. Mostly because I don't have any answers for half of them, but also because I don't want them to think there will be another design project after this one.
Amy, the last time you were evasive about a work meeting, it turned out to be with Carter Anderson.
I swallow and fake a laugh, even though she isn't here to hear it. Me. Ha! Yeah, no. I have no idea what I'm saying or even implying. It's an answer that can be taken in one of a dozen different ways. I don't honestly care which one Amy chooses, as long as I don't have to tell her I'm meeting Carter tonight.
Amy. Yeah, it's Carter again? Or no, it's not Carter?
Once again, I'm caught between lying to my sister or suffering the results of the truth. Me. Yeah. Maybe she'll assume I'm agreeing with the last question. Wouldn't that be the case by the actual rules of grammar? I brace myself for an onslaught of questions, excited gifts, and thrilled exclamations. But nothing comes. My phone is blessedly silent. I slump down and indulge in a celebratory wiggle before reconfiguring the moving panels that make up my adjustable office chair. The website I bought it from called it an ergonomic meditation chair. I just consider it a lifesaver, as I can sit in it cross-legged, backward, or even sideways and still see my computer screen. The section of code I'm refining this morning is almost cleaned up when my phone dings. Then dings again. And again. By the time I finish what I was typing and pick up the device, there are 6 messages from Amy. Amy, you've changed your calendar to private. I can't see anything. Amy, what time is the date? Amy, where is he taking you? Amy, more importantly, what are you wearing? Amy, I can bring over this new skirt we got at the boutique yesterday. Amy, or there's a design I've been toying with. I think you'd fit in the sample. I can bring them over. I glance around my home office and at the section of living room I can see through my front door. Amy cannot come over here. My family descends upon my apartment exactly once per year, and it takes me an entire weekend to prepare for it. I don't have time to get the place ready for them today. Me, it's not a date. Me, I have plenty of clothing in my closet that you personally put there. Me, I'll even wear something from the date night section of the lookbook if it will make you happy. If I can find the pieces. Did I stick them in the closet in my office or did I store them in my suitcase? Probably the office closet. Otherwise, they would be too wrinkled when I put them back in my regular closet during my annual apartment prep. Amy, what time? Me, it's 9:22, weirdo. You have a device with a clock in your hand. There's a timestamp next to your name. Amy, gif of one cat bopping another on the head. Amy, what time is the date? Me, it's not a date. Amy, fine. What time is this completely emotionless and boring work meeting? Me, 5:30. Amy, you're meeting him there, right? Just because he's a celebrity doesn't mean you should give him your home address right away. Me, how famous do you have to be before you become a celebrity? Amy, if people you don't know talk about you on social media, you're a celebrity. Me, wow, the world is full of a lot of celebrities then. Amy, when are you leaving? Me, 5. I wait, but no more messages come in. So I set my phone aside and get back to work. As planned, I work through lunch. By my calculations, I'll need to stop work around 4 in order to find an outfit and get ready. That means I've got time to run one more set of test data through this new code. The scenarios are just finalizing on my screen when my phone chirps. I don't have many apps set to make noise, so I immediately pick up the device. It's my apartment complex access app, telling me that I have a guest at the gate. Clicking the access request button, I see Amy's smiling face hanging out the driver's side of her car. Oh my goodness. What am I going to do? I have to let her in. She knows I'm home. She knows I'd never leave her out there. She's my sister, for crying out loud. My heart is pounding out of my chest as I hit the button to accept her and hear the beep of the gate opening warning before the app closes. My apartment complex is big and windy, and I deliberately chose a unit that is as far from the main entrance as one can get. That means I have about 5 minutes before Amy is parking her car and climbing the steps. She'll probably have bags to unload as well, so that gives me at most 8 minutes. 8 minutes to change all the things I normally take a weekend to do. I tear out of my home office, nearly taking my shoulder off as I knock into the doorframe. The living room will just have to stay. There isn't time to get the framed art prints down from my closet and cover all the video game and movie posters surrounding my television. The game consoles will have to stay as well. Decor is not the priority right now. My closet is. I run into my room, almost take myself out as I step on the corner of the sheet I threw off the bed while getting up this morning, and fall into the large walk-in closet. When I snatch the enormous army surplus duffel from the top of the closet, a tumble of shoeboxes also rains down on my head. I leave them and their contents on the floor as I brace my leg on one of the shelves so I can hold the duffel bag open. College hoodies, leggings, and jeans so worn they've lost color, but are now fashionably torn at the knees, get ripped from their shelves and hangers and thrown into the bag. A basket of folded t-shirts gets upended over the duffel next. Two pairs of sneakers and some hiking boots I can't recall ever wearing get tossed on top of the crumpled clothing as I drag the duffel out of the closet. I try to shove it under the bed, before remembering I bought a platform bed 3 years ago because I wanted the storage. The sudden pounding knock on my apartment door nearly makes me scream. I yank the comforter off my bed because it's somehow still in place, even though the top sheet is on the floor, and toss it over the duffel. My chest is heaving with exertion as I throw open the door with a fake smile on my face. Instead of my sister, though, I see nothing but the wall on the other side of the breezeway.
Take those bags in. I'm grabbing more from the car.
Amy's voice drifts over from the stairs she's already heading back down. Sure enough, three bags sit at my feet. One is full of colorful fabrics I can only assume are clothes. Another is a tumble of cords and hair tools. And the third is her travel makeup case. I hook my foot around the three bags and drag them inside before resuming my scramble. On my way into the home office, I smack my other shoulder into the doorframe. At least I will have matching bruises now. I fling open the closet and wrap my arms around a chunk of the clothing my family brought over for my birthday and muscle it off the hanging rod. My neck aches as I twist my head to see around the bundle of clothes as I run to my room. Half the hangers miss in my attempt to sling the mass onto the hanging rod of my closet, and the clothes fall to the floor. I'll fix that in a minute. But first, I have to move the duffel bag to the office. The front door opens as I fling the comforter away from the duffel. I'll never be able to get it across the apartment without Amy seeing it.
I am so thirsty. Do you have any of those flavored seltzers in the fridge?
Usually, I call out, trying not to sound breathless.
Have a look and help yourself.
That gives me a little time. I grab the extension cord from my bedside lamp and yank it from the wall, sending the lamp toppling onto the bed. After tying one end of the cord around the bedside table leg, I tie the other around the duffel strap. I push open the window, making the screen topple to the grass below, and lug the duffel over to tip it over the sash. The table isn't remotely heavy enough to hold the now dangling army duffel, and it slides up the wall until it's acting like a grappling hook. My book and journal hit the floor, and last night's thankfully closed bottle of partially drank water rolls toward the door. A single glance around my room and closet reveals that, for a very smart person, I am incredibly stupid. My panic has done nothing but draw a neon sign around the parts of my life I never wanted Amy or anyone else in my family to know about. Amy steps slowly into the room. Eyes so wide they seem to take up half her face. A can of water is clutched tightly in one hand, and a large hanging bag is held in place over her shoulder by the other. Her gaze flits from the floor, to my bed, to the window, to the disaster beyond the closet door, and finally to me. Silence weighs everything down for several moments until finally she says,
"What are you wearing?"